We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? And we're just talking here in the studio about things seeming to go slow and things seeming to go fast, and Paul, the station manager, said, "I guarantee you it's exactly the same amount of time." and that kind of goes into what I was talking about yesterday, you know, about perceptions and realities. And today, you have been given a 24-hour day. It's a gift from God. Let's go out, and no matter how fast it seems or slow it seems, let's go out and make it a great day for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? And so today we're going to be talking. We got one more broadcast that we're going to be bringing tomorrow about the names and just going to be touching on some things. But today I want to address a situation in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. This is one of David's mighty men. One of David's mighty men. And while you're turning there, I'll tell you. Did you know that Uriah the Hittite was listed as one of David's mighty men? And when David sinned with Bathsheba, that what he actually did was weakened his defenses against the attacks of the enemy. He literally lost one of his mighty men because of his own sin. And today, I want to encourage you to surround yourself with mighty men and women of God. David was not called to fight all the battles by himself. He led people into military victory. And today I want to ask you to look around you and see if you have mighty men and women of faith who are standing with you, because you are not called to be the Lone Ranger. You were called to be a vital member of the body of Christ. And so today, if you look around and you find that you are, you're not surrounded by people of faith. You may be surrounded by people of doubt. You may be surrounded by people of fear. You may be surrounded by people who are not living in a manner that is pleasing to God. And if you're not surrounded by people who are mighty men and women of faith, then I want to encourage you to begin to look for people who will be there, who will have your back, and will be there to help you when you are going through spiritual battles. So we would like to invite you to Merit Assembly of God. If you do not have a church home, listen, we are by far and away not one of the largest churches in the area. I don't ever make a pretense that we are, but I will tell you what we are. We have some of the most faithful men and women of faith that I've ever encountered in my life. And I've been in big churches, small churches. We have some faithful, mighty men and women of God. They know how to serve God. They know how to pray. They know how to intercede. And so if that could be a blessing in your life, we want to invite you to one of our services. We'd love to get to know you. And, who knows? We might be your mighty man, and you may be ours. So anyway, praise the Lord. In verse number 46 of 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse number 46, 1 Chronicles 11, it says, Eliel the Mehavite, Jeribai, and Joshaviah, the sons of Elnaam, Ithnamah, the Moabite, Eliel, Obed, and Jaasiel, the Mezobite. And oh, I'm so thankful we are now to the end of pronouncing all of these unusual names. But this is starts off very similar to the one that we talked about on yesterday's program, which was Jeriah. This one is a guy by the name of Jeribai. Jeribai. And Jeribai's name means this: God pleads. God pleads. First of all, let me tell you about God's pleading. In Isaiah chapter 1, I'm gonna turn over there because I wanna read this right. In verse number 18, this is God's invitation. He says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And here is the invitation. God is pleading with the children of Israel. He pleads with those who are bound in sin, and he says, "Come, let us reason together. Let's sit down and have a logical discussion. Let's have a rational conversation about the way that you live and the ramifications that is going to be both in your present, your future, and in your eternity." You know, what happens so many times in couples' situation is they want to remember what happened 4 decades ago. I'll throw that out there so you know I'm not talking about my situation. And they get into a disagreement, and instead of discussing the point that of contention that is going on right now, one of the spouses wants to go back 4 decades and discuss something that happened 4 decades ago. And what happened 4 decades ago is not germane. It is not relevant to the topic of what is being discussed right now. It has no bearing on the current incident whatsoever. And so I constantly remind people when I'm doing premarital counseling or marital counseling is if you are having a disagreement, stick to the chronology, stick to the current issue. Don't be unburying past corpses. Don't be digging up old corpses. You want to solve the problem right now. And you say, but what about if I haven't gotten over what happened all those years ago? Well, you need to repent and get that under the blood, because you need to allow God to heal that and empower you to be able to forgive that thing. That the enemy has devised that past hurt to prevent you from walking in the fulfillment of God's peace and joy in your life. And so today, God is pleading. He is pleading with men. He is pleading with women and boys and girls. Listen, society has a horrible invitation for men. Hey, why don't you come, plop yourself right on the couch, get a remote in your hand and a beer in the other hand, and watch a whole bunch of fantasy stuff going on the television that is going to cause you to be discontent with your physique, your wife's physique. You're pretty soon going to be discontent with every area of your life. That's the role model for a man. You know, just a big dumb blob of flesh sitting on a couch, you know, caving in to the basest lusts of the flesh. That's not a mighty man. A mighty man is a champion who gets up and says, "Today, the armies of the living God are not going to be defied. Today, as a mighty man of God, I am not only going to be there for myself, I am going to be there for my family. I'm going to be there for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I am going to be a mighty man. I am not going to settle for the world's definition of what a man is, as just a dumb jock who just can't accomplish anything in life other than, you know, getting drunk on the weekend." What an easily achievable goal. Anybody can get drunk. Anybody can. Anybody can go and cave into temptation. That's not a mighty man. A mighty man rises up and says, I'm going to do what others can't. I am empowered by the Holy Spirit of the living God. I am empowered by the King of Kings living inside of me to live a life that is holy and acceptable in God's sight. I cannot do it on my own, but with God's help and the help of other mighty men, we are going to see God bring the victory. God can save by many or by few. And so God's got an invitation and says, come, let's reason together. I want to forgive your sins. Can you imagine what a great invitation that is? God says, come unto me. I want to forgive your sins. No, God can never forgive my sins. He just told you he wants to forgive you your sins. He on the cross, he demonstrated that he is able to forgive your sins, willing to forgive your sins. The only thing that needs to take place is you respond to God's invitation. And Jeremiah says, his name says, God is pleading for man. God is pleading for man. In Romans chapter 8, I want to take you to Romans chapter 8. And getting over there myself. Romans chapter 8. And in verse number 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So right now, the Holy Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost is actively working on your behalf, interceding to the Father, making intercession, pleading on your case in accordance with the perfect will of God. You say, why would he do that? The scripture says here, because when we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, that does not stop the Holy Spirit from interceding for us. He knows the will of God. Now, I will tell you what the Holy Spirit is not doing. He is not interceding for your wants to be fulfilled. There's a saying that I said to my kids. I'll never forget the first time my son said this. I've always told my kids and said this, what you want is not always what you want. In other words, there are some things that you might think that you want, and then all of a sudden you get them and it comes with a higher price tag than what you realized. It's got a financial cost, a moral cost, a physical cost. And so my son, he was talking about one time, he was in this small group and they were having this discussion what I had said, you know, and they never really got that at when I would say that they didn't really understand it until, you know, eventually they all came to understand what I was trying to say, that, you know, sometimes your desires will lead you down the path right into the enemy's trap. And my son came home and he said, I can't believe it. I just really can't believe it. He said, I was in this discussion tonight. It was a church discussion. And he said, what you want is not always what you want. And I'm so sorry. So, you know, I just chuckled because, you know, the devil will plant desires in you. There, the Bible describes the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. And when you get the ultimate fulfillment of those things, it's death. And nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. Even people who are committing suicide, they're not really wanting to die. They're just wanting the pain to end. They don't realize that's not the end of the pain. It's just the beginning. And so I just encourage you today to recognize that the Holy Spirit right now is interceding for you. And it says that he intercedes according to the will of God, and he knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He intercedes according to the will of God. And so I just want you to consider this. Why would we want to limit the Holy Spirit in our worship services? Why would we want to say, Holy Spirit, we don't want you moving in our services, because if you move, you might convict somebody of their sins and they may respond and ask Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of their life. At Merit Assembly of God, we long for the Holy Spirit to move in our services because we want to be in the soul redemption business. We want to be in the salvation business. And the Holy Spirit is the only one who can deal with people in their sins, not to the point of condemnation, but to the point of repentance unto newness of life. And so thank God that the Holy Spirit is in. So if you've got things that you are needing in your life, the Holy Spirit is praying. He says, God, I know that you have numbered their days. I know that you know the plans that you have for them. God, I pray that you would open up just the right job for them. I pray that you would provide the right transportation for them. I pray that you would provide the right spouse for them. I pray that you would plant them exactly where you want them as far as it comes a house or a job, so that they can make an impact for the kingdom of God. God, you plant them exactly. And the Holy Spirit is saying, God, whatever you have in mind to do, do it for them. They are ready. They are ready. They don't know what's coming, but they are longing for your will to be done in their life. So I want you to know that Jerubbaal was not just the name of one of David's mighty men, but his name, God pleads, it's an invitation to salvation. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. It's an invitation to covenant with Jesus. And you might say, well, why would I want to come into covenant with Jesus? Well, in Romans chapter 8, verse number 34, it says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And right now, Jesus is praying for those who are not walking in covenant with him. He is praying that they would have an encounter with him, an encounter with the living God, so that they would come to salvation. For those who are in covenant, he is saying, Father, they are joint heirs with me. They are more than conquerors through me. I pray that you would bless them with everything that pertains to life and godliness. He is interceding. Not only is the Holy Spirit interceding, God the Holy Spirit, but God the Son, Jesus Christ, is interceding for you and for me. He is interceding for us. And I can tell you this, when Jesus prays, things happen. In fact, Jesus demonstrated the relationship that he and the Father had. He would pray and he said, Father, I'm not praying this out loud right now because I didn't think you heard me. I know that you always hear me. I'm praying this right now so that they can hear, so that they will know that you are in me and I in you and we are one. And God, I pray that you would do this for them right now. That's how much Jesus loves you. He wants you to have the same access to the throne that he had, that when he prayed, the Father heard. The scripture says that if we know that he has heard us, we know that we will have what we ask. Now, I encourage you to go and do this study and get a concordance and look up, and it says, "And anything you ask in my name shall be done for you." There are several different references, and you need to look at what the conditions are for being able to pray in that manner. You see, because when you and I are walking in covenant with God, it is not going to be us living for our desire. We are going to be living for God's desire. We're going to desire for souls to be saved. We're going to desire for a moving of the Holy Spirit. We're going to desire for Jesus to be exalted, the Word of God to go forth, for strongholds to be broken, for the sick to be healed, for demons to be cast out. We are going to be believing for supernatural things. And I want you to know right now that you are not just blindlessly staggering through life, that if you are walking in covenant with Jesus and he has you in his hand, he is leading you to the destination that he has for you. He is leading you to your destiny. The other day, my daughter, it's been a few weeks ago. She got a puppy. And, I went home for lunch one day and there was, a little bit of extra time that I had. And so I said, I'm going to take the dog for a walk I don't like the dog to just be all by herself all day long and stuff like that. And so I grabbed the dog we are walking, and the dog just wants to meander and go this way and go that way. But I had the leash. I had the leash, and I was leading the dog where we needed to go. And I wasn't harsh about it or anything like that. When the dog wanted to stop and smell things and, you know, do other doggy things, then, you know, we stopped and let the, it wasn't a high paced walk. It was a relaxing walk just for the benefit of the dog. There was no benefit in it to me. There was a benefit in it to the dog. And I want you to know that Jesus is interceding for you and I, that just like Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the evening, that you and I would recognize that we are on a journey with him. He's interceding for us that journey will be fruitful and successful. I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 7. That's where we're going to close today, Hebrews chapter 7. There's a similar truth to the one that we just discussed in Romans chapter 8. But in verse number, let's start reading in verse 20. "And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath, by him who said to him, 'The Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.' By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." One of the reasons that Jesus rose from the grave was so that he could make intercession for those who were not yet parts of the household of faith. It says that in verse 23, that the priests of the Levitical priesthood were prevented from continuing in their service by death. Death was the end of their priestly ministry. But Jesus continues forever, and his priesthood continues forever, where he stands as a mediator between God and man with the ministry of reconciliation, which he has bestowed upon the church, that we can reconcile sinner to Savior. That's what we are called. And it says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost. When you and I, we have an intercession team at our church. They meet Sunday mornings at 8:30 before service. And That intercession, if we're going to be in alignment with the will of God, we need to realize that intercession is not just for salvation, but salvation to the uttermost. God wants you completely, thoroughly saved, sanctified, filled with the Word, filled with faith, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with power to be His witnesses to the entire world. I am so thankful. I've told you that our congregation is small in number, but our soul footprint is huge. We participate in reaching people around the globe with the love of Jesus Christ. You say, well, you're just trying to indoctrinate them. No, we're not. We're trying to get them to come and reason together with God. If they're tired, if they're weary, if they're overwhelmed, to come to Jesus. Have a frank discussion about their sins, the price tag of their sins, the blessings and the consequences. To come unto Jesus, to ask Him to forgive them. We're interceding and asking the Holy Spirit to intercede that the will of God would be done, not just in their lives, but in our lives. And we know that Jesus wants to save sinners. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. In fact, he found Zacchaeus one day and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. You know, what was it? Yesterday we talked about God sees, He even knows your name. He doesn't need to be introduced to you. He already knows who you are. And later that day, Jesus said, today salvation has come to this man's house. You know what He told Zacchaeus? He said, I must needs eat at your house today. He wants to come to salvation. It said that He had to go through Samaria, and when He did, he met a woman at a well, and salvation came to a village. Today, I want you to know that Jesus is interceding because He still believes that there are people who will respond to His invitation of having their sins forgiven and Jesus being the Lord of their life. Let's pray today and close out this broadcast. Father, I want to thank You that You know how to pray better than we know how to pray. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. God, I want to thank You that Jesus is interceding for salvation to the uttermost. He is pleading for salvation to come for every man, woman, and child. I want to thank You, God, for the Holy Spirit who is interceding for us in accordance with the perfect will of God. I want to thank You, God, we're not having to feel our way through blindly, but You are there to speak gently and lead us in the straight and narrow path. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.